It might work pretty well if you have any idea what was in there before it was empty. You might be jealous, and that will tie into our message this evening. We'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I'll ask you to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm privileged to do a fair amount of premarital counseling, talking with couples and meeting with them as they prepare to say they do, or I do, I guess would be more appropriate, or we do. And one of the things that I try to do and use resources in doing so is to help couples uncover things about themselves that they may not think to reveal to their prospective spouse, or maybe they're even intentionally trying to hide it from that potential spouse. Maybe thinking, if they knew this about me, they wouldn't want to marry me. Well, they need to know that about them. If not, they'll find it out pretty quickly. And it'd be better if they knew up front. But you know, when it comes to God and His relationship with us, He doesn't hide who He is. There's nothing about His character and all of its multifaceted attributes. There's nothing that He tries to hide from us. He lets us know right up front. And some things that might even cause us to pull away. And in many people, it does cause to pull away when they know who God really is and not just who they want Him to be or not just who someone presents Him as even in maybe trying to win them over, but rather God reveals Himself for who He truly is. And here in Deuteronomy 4, we began to look at this last month a little bit. Moses is speaking to Israel as a new generation is readying to enter the promised land. It's what we call the second giving of the law, hence the name Deuteronomy. And early on in this book, after having given a historical review, a brief historical review of the nation from the giving of the law onward, here in chapter 4, we find two different attributes of God that Moses is led by the Holy Spirit to present. If we had time, we'd read the first 40 verses, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to read the two verses. Verse 24 is the first one, and we began to look at that last time. We'll continue. And he says here, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." And then down to verse 31, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore to them." Two direct declarations regarding the character of God. He is jealous, and He is merciful. The Lord your God is a jealous God. And in that we see He is passionate. Passionate. And under the fact that He is merciful, we may not get to this tonight, but we find that as a merciful God, He is expressing that He is compassionate. As a jealous God, He warns us. As a merciful God, He woos us. This is the same God. It's not two different gods, it's one God, the only true God. And He reveals Himself in His character to us, both as a jealous, passionate God who warns us, and also as a merciful, compassionate God who woos us. You know, our understanding of jealousy is very different than what we have in God presenting Himself as jealous. The jealousy that Shakespeare called the green-eyed monster is not the jealousy of God. The jealousy that we often think of, and particularly in a negative way, and rightfully so, is a selfish jealousy, an insecure jealousy, a jealousy that is not for the benefit of the other person or even truly the relationship, but rather it's self-centered. But God is a jealous God. The Lord your God, Moses writes, is a consuming fire, a jealous God. And as a jealous God, He is passionate about us. That word jealous kind of holds that. It embraces that thought of the passion that he has toward us. It's an emotional word, and we understand that God has emotions. We're created in His image. His emotions are perfect. They are perfectly controlled. So when we think about passion, when we think about expressing an intense or strong feeling, maybe using the word zealous, we may think of someone who loses control, but God doesn't lose control. He's perfectly in control of His emotions, and we say that in a way that we understand, but God has revealed Himself as a God of emotion, but they are perfect emotions. And so His emotion of jealousy is not from insecurity or self-centeredness. Rather, it's from righteousness and holiness. And see, if we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, which I think everyone here has as I look around this room, I think that everyone here has expressed that they have received the Lord Jesus as Savior. And if that is true, then He has a relationship with Him, with us, and we are His. We belong to Him. We belong to Him, and therefore, He has an exclusive right to our loyalty. So if my loyalty is divided, then God is rightly and righteously jealous. You see, God resents any rivalry to Him. You see, He is worthy of our exclusive affection. A jealousy motivated by righteousness, by holiness, and by love that's beyond anything that we can even begin to imagine. And so in His jealousy, He warns us. Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. You see, He loves us passionately. And His jealousy, we find here in verse 24, is coupled with righteous indignation. It's coupled with anger. It's symbolized in the phrase, a consuming fire. When you have time, you can read back through the verses before and right after what we just read, and you will notice a number of references to fire. A God revealing Himself there at Sinai in fire. A God bringing them out of the furnace of Egypt. A God is a consuming fire, and as a consuming fire, He incinerates. Incinerates as He chooses. We mentioned last time the burning bush that Moses, the one who was used to write this, saw there in the wilderness. And that bush, inflamed by the very person of God, was not burned up. It was not consumed. That's what we read in the Scripture. That's why He came over. If it had been a bush that burned up, you know, out there in the desert, dry as it was, it probably would have been burned up by the time He got over there to it. But Moses said, something strange here. There was God in that bush, and yet it wasn't burned up. He's selective in His incineration. Our God is a consuming fire. Well, that was for the Hebrews, right? That was for the Israelites. Yes, it was. But Hebrews 12:29 tells us, for our God is a consuming fire. Our God. He is jealous. And in His passion, He may burn up things. You know, God is affected by my affections. God is affected by your affections. Now, God's character is not affected by your or my affections. He does not change. But God is affected by our affections. We don't control Him in any way, but He is passionate about His relationship with you and with me. And because He is passionate about that relationship, He is angry with whatever and whoever gets in between us. Anything, anyone that gets in between you and God who loves you passionately, that offends Him. And he is rightly and righteously angry about that. God is a consuming fire. He may incinerate my enemies. Those who oppose my exclusive relationship with Him and the blessings that are associated with that relationship. Look over in chapter 9 while we're here in Deuteronomy. A little bit later, Moses telling the people, you're getting ready to go into the promised land. As it begins chapter 9, he says to the nation, hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to the heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? So as you're getting ready to go into a land that I'm going to give you because I love you, but you've heard all about how difficult it will be, how impossible humanly to take that. Verse 3, therefore understand today that the Lord your God is He who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly as the Lord has said to you. He said, I'm going to go over as a consuming fire. But we know the story. He did go over as a consuming fire, but they didn't just sit back and say, all right, once the Lord incinerates them all, then we'll come in. No, he said, you go and you obey me and you step out in faith and I'll give you the victory. I'm going to be the one that consumes them, but I'm going to use you. And so as we go to embrace the spiritual blessings that God has given to us, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, then he says, don't just sit there in the meeting. Don't just sit there on your couch. Don't just lie there in your bed. But hey, those are good things. Those are important things. You might have the Bible out with you, and you're reading, and you're studying, and you're meditating, and you're praying. But he says, we need to get up, and by faith, we need to step out. He said, but I'm the consuming fire. Now, God did leave some people in the land to protect them from being overrun by the beast. He left some there to test them. Some were left there because of their own disobedience. But God loved them. And he said, I'm going over before you as a consuming fire. In 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah has angered the king of Israel, Ahaziah. And so Ahaziah sends out a captain with 50 men. And they come to take Elijah. They're the enemies of Elijah. They want to get in the way between Elijah's fellowship with God. They want Elijah to be afraid. They want him to bow down to them and to Ahaziah. But here's what he says to them in 2 Kings 1:10. If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. In Jeremiah 23, in verse 29, the Lord asked the question through Jeremiah, is not my word like a fire? He said, my word's like a fire, and those who claim to speak to me, but speak for me, but they're not speaking the truth, my word is a fire, and it will consume them, your enemies who try to lie to you. We know that ultimately those who oppose God, in 2 Thessalonians 1:8, we read that the Lord Jesus is coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He can consume. We by faith, not that we want Him to literally, physically consume them, but he can come in and consume their opposition to us, or at least consume their victory over us. And He does that by our faith. We trust Him. That's the victory, John said in 1 John, even our faith. And then He may consume our enemies in the sense of those toward whom we find ourselves leaning. You know, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of things in life that we don't really see as bad. It's just kind of normal part of life, and if we're not careful, we're leaning over to them. I'm reminded of the people in Numbers 11 and verse 1, where they were going through the wilderness, and some of the people that were there with the nation of Israel, we read about them that the people complained, and it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and His anger was aroused, so the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Now that was literal fire coming down and literally consuming the lives of people who were complaining against God, and in doing so were leading away others of God to be complainers, to not to be content with what God was doing and where He was leading them and what He was feeding them and how He was working and what His timing was. And so God consumed them. And if we will by faith step out and believe God and desire to follow Him and be obedient to Him, and we're willing to identify those things that are hindering our enjoyment of Him and the blessings that He desires for us to enjoy, spiritual blessings, then oftentimes He will consume those things. He will move them away. He will give us a vision as Elijah, was it Elijah or Elisha? You have to help me here, I'm sorry, because it just came to my mind. I believe it was Elisha. All the people, the warriors came up around the city where he was. Was it Elisha? It was Shah. Okay, Elisha. And he looked, and the young man that was with him said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, there's two of us," and they got the place surrounded. And he said, "Lord, open his eyes and let him see the angelic hosts that are there. There's more for us than there are for them." And God can do that. He can enable us to see. You know, there may be opposition. There may be people that are trying to get in the way and hinder the enjoyment that God wants you to have and that He's passionate about you having. But you can have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is passionate about you. There's several other things we'll look at, but we'll save those for another time. But may we just be overwhelmed with the knowledge that God loves us like He does, with a passionate love. He's a jealous God. He's a jealous God. Father, we thank You for our time tonight in singing and sharing and praying and meditating on Your character. Lord, we think of You as a jealous God. Father, we think of ourselves, why would You even care? But Father, we thank You that You not only care, You care passionately about us. You are zealous about us knowing who You are and Your love for us and about us embracing and living in the reality of the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we understand that those blessings may not be material. In fact, at times we may suffer, as many of our brothers and sisters are doing at this very moment. But Father, we thank You that they can, even in that, and we can, even in the difficulties of our lives, and even in the sorrows and sadness and frustrations and weariness, we can still enjoy who You are, and we can still enjoy the blessings of peace and love and joy and hope, Father, of fellowship. Father, might we do so for Your glory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.